Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already December 12th and December 13th, depending on when you're listening to this. Does seem the years, as I get older, seem to fly by. It just seems like we had the summer, and then we're talking about Thanksgiving, and now it's 2 weeks before the Christmas and Hanukkah holidays, and here we are on December 12th, and last weekend we had Kathy Kaplan from the Concord Community Music Association. She did a great job explaining what the Audi is and all the stuff that goes on right here in Concord and the great history of the shows and performances that appear in Concord, and she does a great job. So hopefully some of you went to the concert, as I know that there were some upcoming concerts as well. Today in December 12th, if you're listening to this on Saturday, we have the Jingle Bell Half Marathon in Atkinson. And Sunday the 13th, we have the Yule Light Up the Night run that John Mortimer's group puts on, and that's at the Loudon Racetrack, and that's at 4:30. And then for my other running friends in the Concord area, December 19th, we have the Jingle Bell Run in Concord at 10 a.m. And just as a reminder, we'll have the challenge, because at 11 o'clock, there's a race at Bishop Brady's, so you can actually run the Jingle Bell on December 19th at 10 a.m., at Runlet School, and then drive over to Bishop Brady and do a double, and we'll have some incentives for you to do that. But today is not about running. It is about sports. With me is Matt Welch from the Manchester Monarchs. And Matt, thank you for joining me, and it's December 12th, 13th. I know you're a busy man, so I'm sure you have better things to do than to hang out with Tom Raffio on December 12th and 13th weekend, particularly since you have a game tonight.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me. I wouldn't miss an opportunity to hang out with you, Tom.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Are you still going to the executive club?
I'm still there, but looking at you, I haven't been going as much as you have. You look good.
I've been going to the title boxing in Concord, so you gotta try that. Anyway, so moving away from that, so tell us, when I interview people like you and Rick Brenner and so forth, I always get questions offline from the listening audience. Because a lot of young women and men are interested in a career in a sports related. Although, of course, even though this is hockey, there's a whole business element to it. I get that. So tell us how your career evolved to where you are as one of the top executive for the Manchester Monarchs.
Yeah. I grew up in Manchester. So I was born and raised in Manchester. Went to Trinity High School. Always involved in sports in my life. Never played hockey, ironically, but, football, basketball, and baseball my whole life. And,
You played at Trinity?
At Trinity, yeah.
Awesome. It's funny because I interviewed Tom Gauthier for the Fisher Cats, and who's obviously the announcer, and he says, his theory is a lot of people that get into different aspects of the sports management or announcing athletes who played in high school and college but maybe just weren't quite good enough to play professionally. So is that kind of your history?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wasn't good enough to play professionally, but it was always a big part of my life. I liked being around sports, and I went on to school at Ithaca College in New York. Went to school for sports management. Got out, not really sure what I wanted to do. I had done a full time internship at the Fleet Center. It was right as the Boston Garden transitioned over to the Fleet Center, and now it went back to the TD Garden. But
so pause there. How did you get that internship?
Just networking. We had professors at Ithaca that had contacts in the sports world, and just kind of followed in the footsteps of some students from Ithaca that had gone there.
Super. And I'm assuming you were willing to do anything just to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, I mean, I was working in public relations, community relations, ticket sales, doing pretty much whatever they asked of us. And it gave me a taste of the real world a little bit, and it was something I wanted to pursue. And fortunately for me, the Verizon Wireless Arena was just being built as I graduated from college. So started off on Elm Street, where offices of the arena was being built. We were given hard hat tours of the building, and being a Manchester native and having that opportunity It was really
So did Jeff Eisenberg hire you, or
Jeff hired me? I always tell him it was the best thing he's ever done.
The Hockey Hall of Famer, Jeff Eisenberg.
That's right.
And well, this name may not mean much to you, but our corporate attorney was a gentleman by the name of Bob Dastin, who was a general actually in the Air National Guard, and he was one of the many people. It was first called the Centerplex to say, you know, that Manchester, the city of Manchester, could support an arena, minor league hockey. He twisted my arm a tad to. We were one of the first companies, Delta Dental, to get a suite there, Suite 16, as you know.
Right.
And that was the best thing we ever did because, of course, in addition to the hockey, you have all these other performances, you know, that that come. So you were an intern. You were willing to do anything. And how did when you went from being an intern in Boston to, was it immediately that you went to work for Jeff?
Yeah. Like I said, the timing was perfect. And my internship was finishing in Boston. And they had an opening, an entry-level job in ticket sales. And I started with them, and we had a great staff led by Jeff, and I learned from great people.
So tell us the rest of your career journey to where you are now.
Yeah, from there, I sold ticket sales for the first couple of years, and as you know, the Monarchs and the Verizon were extremely, extremely successful. Then I went into sponsorship sales and started dealing with our corporate partners and worked my way up and eventually started overseeing all of our revenue and now the operations of the organization.
Fantastic. So your exact title now is
president.
Nice, nice, nice. So I always wanted to know this. So do you mingle with the Los Angeles Kings? I mean,
yeah. So we're owned and operated by a company called Anschutz Entertainment Group. They own the Los Angeles Kings as well as us, and now the Ontario Reign on the West Coast. It's the largest sports and entertainment company in the world, so it's a great company to work for. They love Manchester, which we'll get into in a little bit, but from a professional development standpoint, it's such a great company to work for.
And President Matt Welsh has a really good ring to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's some good.
Can you run for president of the United States?
I don't know. It's a pretty crowded field this year.
You could add to it. Okay, so I know when I mentioned to a bunch of my business colleagues that I was interviewing you, they said make sure you spend some time so the listening audience know how great ECHL hockey is, and that probably. You know, most fans can't even really notice the difference between AHL hockey and ECHL hockey. And so would you kind of, explain that transition?
Yeah, so the quick story is, when we had our AAA players, which was the AHL that we knew in Manchester for a number of years, it was a great partnership here, but it was still a challenge because obviously the Los Angeles Kings are all the way across the country. So a call-up became very difficult. And not only that, you know, just from a mentoring standpoint, the general managers in Los Angeles, they had a hard time keeping an eye on their prospects, you know, all in all. So eventually it became reality that we were going to go to the West Coast along with the other NHL Pacific Division teams. Started a Pacific Division on the West Coast. It was a natural fit in Ontario, which is about 30 miles from Los Angeles. With traffic, it's about 4 hours.
But a little different than New Hampshire,
right? But it was a good fit, and we decided we were going to make the transition. When we did that, once we knew that we were going, the first thing, and this is what, as a Manchester and a New Hampshire native, I was so proud of the LA Kings and our company was they said, okay, we're settling in with our AAA guys in on the West Coast. What do we do with Manchester? And, you know, the easy option would have been to basically pull up the moving truck and leave. However, you know, knowing that and you know, 14 years in the Manchester market, two Stanley Cups, this was a second home.
And the Calder Cup.
Which we didn't know we were going to have at the time. But they said, no, we're going to make sure there's a team in Manchester. We talked with a number of NHL teams about bringing American League hockey here. It didn't work out for geographic reasons. They all want to be as close as possible to their NHL teams.
And do you have are there any issues related to like the fact that you're close to the Bruins market or whatever?
It not so much issues that it's really geographic proximity. So if you look at the New York Rangers right now, they're in Hartford. They're very close to New York City. It's an easy in and out. Albany is affiliated in New Jersey. So it really came down to just there was no NHL teams that were close enough to us. Once we figured that out, we said, okay, it's not ideal to have our AA prospects, which was our ECHL franchise, across the country either. However, it makes the most sense to make sure that we keep hockey in Manchester. It's a great market, and we definitely didn't want to leave it without hockey. So it was a difficult transition. It was time consuming, but we made it. And our fans, you know, through our first, you know, early on schedule here, are very happy with the hockey and it's Monarchs country as usual.
Exactly. And I like your. I like your tagline, you're in Monarchs country, what you just said, but now kind of a sub tagline to that, still the kings of New Hampshire hockey.
Right.
Did you think that one up, Matt?
We did. You know what? We didn't, and I will give credit. We spoke about Jeff Eisenberg before. He has a very successful agency now in Manchester, EVR. And first thing we did when we decided we're going to make this transition is I reached out to Jeff.
You dusted him off, huh?
I brought him on. Yeah.
Nice.
And
nice.
So they've really helped us with the transition and the marketing.
Super. And most importantly, as J Dog has heard me say many times, the fact that they're still called the Monarchs. Ken Kale, who has called every single Monarchs game, never been sick, right up there with Lou Gehrig. I have declared that his consecutive calling game streak is intact, even though it's a different league. You know, because one of my theories, by the way, speaking of the leagues, is, and I've talked to a lot of coaches, and they sort of agree. I mean, that the bottom five people on the NHL roster and the top five people on the AHL roster, that those are all interchangeable. And similarly, to me, the ECHL and AHL. And after the commercial break, we can get into that. Why don't you give us the website, because I'm sure we've stimulated interest and people want to buy tickets. You want to sell some tickets, Matt, don't you?
We do. We do. It's www.manchestermonarchs.com. And you can check out our schedule right there online and a number of family deals. And
we play tonight, the Thunder, so at 7 o'clock. So that'll be good. We'll return with President Matt Welsh of the Manchester Monarchs after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This weekend, December 12th and 13th, President Matt Welsh from the Manchester Monarchs Hockey Club is with me sharing this weekend. And again, as just a quick reminder to my running friends, on the 12th today, if you're listening to it on a Saturday, we have the Jingle Bell Run Half Marathon in Atkinson. And on the 13th, you'll light up the night. And it's really cool. You actually run through Loudon Racetrack, and there's a ton of really cool lights. And as some of you know, I'm the chair of the New Hampshire Arthritis Leadership Council. My family think, we don't suffer from arthritis, but what people don't realize is that 20% of the population in New Hampshire and across the United States is affected by various forms of arthritis, and that juvenile arthritis, arthritis in younger folks, actually, there's more kids with juvenile arthritis and juvenile diabetes. So it's a serious issue, and this is a fundraiser, and it starts at 10 o'clock on December 19th at Runlet. Okay, so back to Matt Welsh. Matt, would you just explain for the average fan the difference, slight nuance between the AHL and the ECHL?
Yeah, I mean, you use the word slight. It's from a talent level, it's very, very slight. Matter of fact, I'll use an example. We had a guy, Jordan Samuels Thomas, played for a couple of weeks early on with us this year. He got called up to the American League level, and his second game had a hat trick. So, the skill level is very, very, very close. I think the biggest thing I've noticed is maybe some of the, at the NHL level where, 99% of the passes go tape to tape on a stick, and then it might go to 95% of the passes in the American League. You might see it 90% in our league. It's just these guys are pretty much just a skill, just as big as fast. It's just they're at a point in their development where they're just kind of learning the angles a little bit, those slight angles. So for the average fan, if you come to a Monarchs game, you're really not going to notice much difference. Matter of fact, the overwhelming response so far through our season has been how good the play is. It's very, very up and down. A lot of scoring chances, big, fast, and physical. So the average fan's not going to notice a difference, and then the very, very knowledgeable fan will notice a slight difference. But the feedback from our diehard fans and our really knowledgeable fans is, yeah, there's maybe a slight difference, but we love it. So
great. Good summary. And most importantly, can you bless my declaration that Ken Kale's consecutive game calling streak still is intact?
Ken is still intact. I don't think you mentioned before that he's never been out sick. He's been sick. He's just never been out. So he,
that's true.
He's a diehard, and he hasn't missed it, and he's a big part of our family.
That's why I admire Ken, because I never missed a day of school, including Sunday school, and I was always proud of that until someone said, yeah, but you probably infected a bunch of people when you came in when you had
right.
Nicole. But anyway, Ken does a great job. I love listening to him. And of course, last year, I mentioned before the break, the Monarchs won the Calder Cup, which is the AHL equivalent of the Stanley Cup. And I think just as a remarkable achievement, because in my view, hockey playoffs are the toughest sports to win the championship because you know, like in basketball, I mean, candidly, the first round is a joke. I mean, very rarely is the number one seed bumped off. And, of course, in NCAA basketball, a 16th seed has never won a first seed. But in NHL and AHL, it's very common for, you know, an 8th seed to beat a first seed, just a hot goaltender or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, goaltending, you know, there's a lot of parity in hockey. But yeah, to run the table and to win a championship, whether it's the NHL level, the AHL level, or the ECHL level, that's an amazing accomplishment. There's a lot of games played. There's a lot of it's played at a. People always say, you know, how come they watch the NHL playoffs and they say, why don't they play every game like that? And quite frankly, it's because they can't. You can't compete 80 nights a year.
You'd be burned out and injured. You know.
Yeah, so it's great hockey. It's a grind, and if you can get there in the end. I can tell you, you know, last year when we did it, you know, as an organization, it was a really special feeling.
Great way to, you know, end that run for sure, and maybe you'll have the same type of run in the ECHL. One quick question someone wanted me to ask you, and that is, are the overtime rules, are there any rules that are a little different between the NHL, AHL, and the ECHL?
Yeah, you know, there might be some slight things, but for the most part, it is the same as the other two leagues. Matter of fact, the NHL will rely a lot of times on the ECHL and the AHL. You know, if they've come up with ideas that could better the game, they'll test those things at our level.
Like the 3-on-3 overtime.
Right. The 3-on-3 overtime, you know, in my opinion, is awesome. The fans love it.
Except for the Bruins against Edmonton, I guess. But no, that was a shootout. That's right. Sorry about that. Okay. So I want to get into some of the upcoming big games. You know, you have Stanley Cup night and Pink in the Rink and so forth. But can you spend just a little time, like the Fisher Cats, the Monarchs have been great to the community. And so can you talk a little bit about, anecdotally, the impact that the Manchester Monarchs have had on the community?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we talked about, you know, keeping our franchise here, you know, besides just a great outlet for quality of life and, you know, moms and dads and kids, you know, things to do, you know, and the economic impact it has on our businesses downtown and those type of things, it really is, the reason why we're here is to be community partners. And, you know, the Monarchs Care Foundation over the years has done, you know, we've donated millions of dollars. You know, tickets and those type of things. So we're heavily involved in the community. And, you know, I think with the ECHL players this year, we have a little more access to them. So you will see them more in schools, at youth hockey appearances, you know, and in different, you know, charitable organizations throughout the state. We hired Richard Seeley, was a former player of ours, captain, as you know. He's our head coach. He was a man of the year for a couple of years for the Monarchs. Jeff Giuliano is the assistant coach. Both of our hires, you know, we wanted guys that knew that were going to coach and put a good product in the ice, but we also wanted guys that
good community citizens
understood,
yeah.
You know, how important it was to give back in this community, and they're both New Hampshire residents. You know, so it's a pretty special thing we have going right now.
It's great that they are New Hampshireites, and you're right, the Monarchs Foundation, so good to the community. And as an example of that, as chair of the State Board of Education, in November, there's one of those early morning games, and it's all about education, and a lot of teachers and administrators go to that game, and the real focus on education. So thank you, Matt, for all that you do. The season is, you know, we're midstream, not quite midstream, so I think you have some upcoming really cool nights, Star Wars nights, Stanley Cup night. Why don't you describe what those are? And again, the website is manchestermonarchs.com if you want to buy tickets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the early on in the season is, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, in the community. So we really hit our stride come New Year's Eve. That's where we kick it off.
I love the New Year's Eve
game. New Year's Eve game.
With fireworks afterwards,
yeah,
right?
It's funny. You know, my wife always laughs because I go home every time and say, where else for $20 can you get that kind of entertainment? And it's a special night. It's a family night. You know, New Year's Eve, you know, families are looking for things to do. And, you know, we get great hockey, and then we do an indoor fireworks display that's top-notch. And then you're home with the kids by 10:30. So that's our big one, New Year's Eve game.
And as you get to be my age, Matt, that's about when you go to bed. You don't wait for the ball to drop.
So. Right. So New Year's Eve game, obviously on New Year's Eve, then Pink in the Rink comes around in February. That's our breast cancer awareness night. We paint the ice pink jerseys, and proceeds from that night, a portion of the proceeds go to the Breast Care Center at Catholic Medical Center. CMC is a major partner of ours, and they're doing special things there. So that's a big one. And then roll it around in March, we do American Pride Night. We honor our police, fire, and our military. You know, probably now more than ever, you know, it's important to, you know, recognize and celebrate our country. So that'll be a good one. We're going to have Boston Bruins alumni are going to play prior to our game that day. Rick Middleton and his crew. So, you know, we got some big stuff on the horizon. So check out our website, www.manchestermonarchs.com.
It's always great to see Rick Middleton the game. So does Brad Park come to that? I wonder.
Yeah, I think he's still involved with them. Yep.
Because I've seen him. That's awesome. So from a business standpoint, obviously you've talked about the impact on the community just by being a business in Manchester, but then also the donations. From your standpoint as the president of the Manchester Monarchs, do you have like quarterly staff meetings when you go out to Los Angeles? How does that all work?
Yeah, we. You know, it's quarterly. It's really monthly meetings with the LA Kings. I can tell you at this standpoint, from a business standpoint, they're very, very happy. Here was our priorities. We had to make sure people understood that the Manchester Monarchs were still here. Two, we needed to educate people on how good the hockey was going to be. That's taken care of itself. You know, people have come to the games and they've seen it. So. Our season ticket base, we basically are back to even our season ticket base. We had the best year in 5 years in new season ticket sales. Our corporate sponsor support is right where it's always been. And, you know, those people have stayed with us over the years. And so it's business as usual. And, you know, I just ask people to come out and come see a game at the Verizon and watch, you know, top quality hockey.
And again, the website is manchestermonarchs.com. Is the last home game of the season, do you still do the shirt off the back?
Shirt off your back, last home game of the season. It's our fan appreciation night at the end of April. And, it's a special night. The players, you know, all the proceeds from that go to our Monarchs Care Foundation for us to give back.
Perfect. And one of my goals has always been that when they get into the playoffs, and I know in New Hampshire, I know I'm a big skier, and once the spring hits, then you get out. But you know, as we make our playoff run, you know, to get more people to continue to go. I know when the good weather hits, people like to get outdoors, rake their lawn, and with stuff like that. But I know one of my goals has always been to, you know, when we're in the playoff run, to get more people to go to the game. So, have you had any tricks of the trade on that?
You know, it's tough. It's tough everywhere. It's, you know, it's similar to the Fisher Cats who, you know, Rick and his group do an unbelievable job packing that building. But early on in April, it's tough for them. The weather's not that good. And then, you know, vice versa for us. But, you know, honestly, I think coming off of the results we had last year and the excitement from the Calder Cup, people saw firsthand how great it was. So, you know, hopefully that'll help us this year.
Super. So, Sunday, December 13th, you have a home game against the Thunder, right?
Yep, Adirondack Thunder. They're a division rival of ours.
So that's 3 o'clock, so we want to get people out there. Matt, you do such a great job, and congratulations on a great career. And President Matt Walsh from the Manchester Monarchs, great ring to it. So congratulations, and I'll see you around the community, and thanks for all you do for the greater community of New Hampshire.
Thank you for everything you guys do. Appreciate it.
Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.